This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So speaking of what people want, initially, according to a Seth Wickersham article, or actually an excerpt from his book that's coming up in September about quarterbacks, Caleb Williams did not want to go to the Bears. His dad didn't want him to go to the Bears. And this isn't just, hey, I'd prefer he goes somewhere else. This is, I don't want my son playing for the Bears, quote, Williams told several agents, talking about Carl, his dad, in 2024. The rookie cap is just unconstitutional, Williams told Wickersham, later adding that the CBA is the worst piece of bleep I've ever read. It's the worst in sports history. I need to go to the Vikings, he told his dad, talking about Caleb Williams. Let's do it, his father replied. This is all from this Seth Wickersham book, or the excerpt here. The quotes in here are staggering. The anecdotes are staggering. All the stuff that you heard about, you know, like they were trying to get a piece of ownership or all these other kind of weird reports that, you know, you couldn't really verify. Well, here you go. Here's your smoking gun. Point blank, he did not want to go to Chicago. They were trying to alter the draft process to engineer Caleb Williams being able to go to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams, correctly, by the way, said that's the place quarterbacks go to die. They've got a worse quarterback history than nearly any other franchise in the sport. They can't get it right there. Waldron shouldn't have been the OC, but was. And Williams had a quote as part of this. I don't think I can do this with Shane Waldron. So this is, if you're a Chicago fan, you're reading this going, oh my God, I thought we had something. Year one wasn't great, but it wasn't a disaster that everybody's making it out to be. But this
is
now,
a disaster.
This feels like a disaster, etc. Well, Caleb Williams responded. This is a little bit longer, so we'll be able to pause and kind of jump in here, Tobes. But so this piece comes out, I think, May 15th, which is a couple weeks ago now, almost 2 weeks to the day. And Caleb Williams at the podium responds to some of the details in this Seth Wickersham. I don't know if it's the Wickersham article or the excerpt from the book, whatever you want to call it, but filed at ESPN. The details from Wickersham's book is what we'll call it. He responds to some of those. This is Caleb Williams.
This whole storm that happened, it wasn't something that, you know, we wanted to happen at this point. You know, we're focused on the present. We're focused on now. We're focused on, you know, trying to get this ship moving in the right direction. And I think so far that's what we've been doing. But for this to come out, it's been a distraction. So coming up here and talking about it and addressing it is important today. And so that's what we're here to do. Next is all that went down, all that was said. Yeah, I had a good visit at the other place, Minnesota, with Ken O'Connell, good staff and all of that, obviously. He just won Coach of the Year award and things like that. So obviously good staff and things like that. But something that keeps getting lost, something that keeps getting, I think, not being addressed the way it needs to be, is the fact that, you know, I went on that visit first, came here, and then after I came here, I went back home, talked to my dad, and, you know, all of the things that were supposed to be these big things that everybody's been talking about recently, one never happened in the sense of they were all thoughts. They were all ideas. And I think if you're in the situation, I think if you're son or daughter, anybody is in a situation to be in that position, I think you think about all of the options and, you know, and you look at it, the history and the facts and all these different things. And you know, those are thoughts that go throughout your head in those situations. So
pause right there, Darius. All right. So again, this is an excerpt from the story. That left only one option: to publicly attack the Bears in the city of Chicago, hoping that it would make the situation untenable, similar to what Jack and John Elway had done with the Baltimore Colts in 1983. He worried about me taking bullets, said Carl Williams to Wickersham of his son. I don't care. I just don't agree with this bleep. You know, I'm more interested in making sure that he can do what he wants to do. But Caleb was concerned that if they did try and the Bears refused to trade him, it would make a tough situation worse. In the end, Caleb Williams told Wickersham, "I wasn't ready to nuke the city." End quote. So far.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Williams trying to kind of walk both sides of the tightrope there. One, addressing it head on, Tobes, I would say. He's doing that. Saying, hey, I'm here to talk about this. Let's get this out in the open. But two, to go, these are just thoughts. These are thoughts. It got beyond thoughts, didn't it?
Yeah, it definitely got beyond thoughts. I mean, the idea that you were hiring lawyers to look at loopholes that you could get out of this thing and say, what if we played in the UFL for a year and then came back and were just a free agent and could sign anywhere else? Which, by the way, is a massive thing. Because if he could have done that, we could have been for a world of hurt. We could have been into a huge catastrophe for the National Football League. Because any quarterback ever coming out could have said, I'll go play in the UFL or quote-unquote not even play, right? Like, I'll go sign with some UFL team, maybe play a game, and then chill on the bench, and then I can go sign wherever I want. Great. So eventually he finally realizes that there is no way around and ends up in Chicago. I think two things, right? I think it's very mature of him to come out and say the things that he did. Obviously, a PR person worked with him on what he was going to go through and what he was going to say and hit on the various things. And, you know, like you're taught as a kid, right? Honesty is the best policy. And I think him coming out and being honest about the fact that, yeah, this stuff wasn't a lie, because he could also done that, right? He also could have come out and say, I don't know what the heck Wickersham's saying. Like, we've seen that all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's got quotes from you, dude.
Yeah, so, like, he could have tried to do that, too, but instead he's honest and realizes, look, it's better if I face this head on. There's going to be problems. But I think, too, he's going to face some flack from people immediately. This is always going to be something that gets brought up anytime something bad happens. But by him doing this now, it puts it to bed a little bit more than if he would have just said, yeah, stuff happened in the offseason before I got drafted. There was a story that came out. I'm not going to address it. That this kind of quells it a little bit.
So let's pick it up from there, Darius. This is Caleb Williams responding to the excerpt from the Seth Wickersham story.
And then after I came on my visit here, it was a deliberate answer determined answer that I had. That I wanted to come here, and just like Ben spoke about, obviously, you know, the past years, as everybody knows, it's a fact that quarterback play, there hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer. There's, you know, there's all these different things that come up. And so, you know, being able to have those thoughts is I think, fair to be able to have, you know, good and bad thoughts. But like I said, I came here on a visit, and like I said, just like Ben said, you know, it's a challenge. To be able to come in here and try and turn around, and that was the main goal of all of that, is to, you know, through all of, you know, what was, you know, going on, through all of what happened and you know, last year and previous years, you know, I think that was enticing. I think that was something that was glaring to me, that, you know, I wanted to come here and, you know, be the guy and be a part and be a reason on why you know, Chicago Bears turned this thing around. So that last thing that was said and all of that, I think, was the most important thing, is that I wanted to be here, that I love being here, I love my teammates.
And we can cut it off there. That's basically the where he turns it and says, and this is part of the story too, in fairness. So we laid out the more salacious parts, but at the end is, once Ryan Poles said, sorry, kid, we're drafting you no matter what, I told him and his agent, et cetera. The right thing to do, by the way, if that's your conviction. You don't let somebody dictate to you. That's not how the rules are set up. If they set up differently, you can behave accordingly. But once the meetings happened, Caleb Williams was then all in. And it chronicles also in this piece some of the nonsense that was going on. For example, he watched film by himself, according to the story. No coaches telling him what to look for. He just would turn it on and just sort of do it. Best of luck. Sort of left a twist in the wind. There's a reason quarterbacks go there to dive, and sort of to use the euphemism. But that's how it turns. And so a lot of folks in Chicago, and I think sports fans nationwide, are kind of reacting in two opposite camps on this. Camp number one is, what are you doing, dude? Mostly upset, I think, at the contents of the story. And then when he stands up there and addresses it, it's a, dude, all you got to say is, I got no comment on that. I'm here to win football games or something like that. And then eventually it dies down and goes away. The other side is, dude, good for you. Good for you for saying the true thing, which is they don't ever have good quarterbacks there. No one throws for 4,000 yards ever. Hasn't happened. And this situation I'm walking into sucks. And now you're saying, yeah, but I take it as a personal challenge and we're trying to win for you guys.
I think it's interesting because you might get a little insight into his mentality here. You can kind of take it for what it's worth, but I think it's 100% honest and true. And I'm sure any quarterback getting drafted to Chicago has these sorts of thoughts like, man, this place has never had a 4,000-yard passer. In a league where everybody has had someone, it feels like, go for 4,000 yards and look really, really prolific, they haven't had one. They've got to Super Bowls, they've won Super Bowls, but it wasn't because of their quarterback play. So you have to think, you know, is there something going on? Is this franchise, for whatever reason, snake-bitten a little bit with the quarterback? At the same point, you have heard athletes throughout time that say, never been done before, but I can do it. I can go over there and change things. And so does it give you a little insight into him? Maybe, you know, it might be a little unfair to say he doesn't have the killer instinct, but, you know, a guy like, think of Kobe or a Jordan or so many of these great athletes say, never been done before. Think of LeBron, right, in that 2016 finals, down 3-1, never been done before. We can do it. We can find a way. I know I can accomplish it. And so I think it's an interesting parallel there where it sounds like he was a little trepidatious because of the history. Sounds like once he was in the building and talked to some of the people that maybe that changed a little bit and he felt maybe I can be that guy. But it's just an interesting insight there that maybe he doesn't have that killer gene that we think, because I think some people would look at it as a challenge versus he was looking at it and say, can I go anywhere else, please?
What you just said reminds me of how my ADD brain works. Comedy buddy of mine named Bay Wesley used to have this great joke about the praying mantis. And the praying mantis, every time the male praying mantis mates with a female, the female bites its head off. It might make you think twice, most people, right? But the male praying mantis is like, dude, hey, every time someone, you know, with her, she bites the head off. Not the way I do it. I'll be fine. And then your head gets bitten off, right? Like you mentioned the athlete going, I'll be the one to fix it. That athletic arrogance. Williams had a full panoramic, had a 360-degree worldview going, I know I'm pretty good. I've got some confidence in myself, but my God, I bet you some other guys did too. It's never, ever worked there and expressed some trepidation. I just think it's a fascinating conversation. This is, I think, going to be more and more normal. Not somebody trying to torpedo the draft and, you know, do whatever, but we're going to see more openness among athletes who've been kind of raised in this, your age and younger, Tobes, coming up where used to be strong, silent type. Nobody says peep. You go do your job, and anything out of the ordinary is met with derision. You're going to see more sharing, you know, one way or the other, whether it's good or bad, it just is. I think it's more commonplace. So, yeah, I mean, those comments don't look very good, and you got to hit it head on. I actually think he did a pretty darn good job.
You know the irony of all of this? You know the guy that brought this to our attention? Because he thought it was really honest? Ryan Clary? He thought him being forthright, coming out, being 100% honest with the situation was the way to go. If you heard our last segment, that doesn't sound to fit with Ryan Clary's MO.
I was just looking up the definition of irony.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.